We're going to welcome all of our guests. We want to thank you all for being here. It's a tremendous day. We know, can I just say this to you? I always make sure that when I go out of town that I go to church. Now, I do that for a reason. That is because I know how uncomfortable it is the very first time you go to a church you've never been to. And today we want to say thank you so much for being brave, coming to the house of God. We know that you're going to be changed and challenged. We know that you're going to be encouraged. It's going to be an awesome day. And the camel's here. Now, listen, it's sad. We got more excitement over the camel than Jesus. I said, Jesus is here. The camel's here. So we just want to invite Jesus. We know he's here because where two or three are saved, there he says, I'm there. So let's all stand to our feet. Rhonda, would you like to say something to everybody?
Awesome. It is just wonderful to be able to celebrate today the greatest gift. No gift in this world that will be given on Christmas is greater than the gift of Jesus. So it's our joy to celebrate him today.
Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for being in this room. Holy Spirit, we ask that you flood every nook and cranny. Lord, we know that prayer has gone on before the service ever even thought about being started. Spirit of God, without you here, it means absolutely nothing. For it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. God, we ask that today you will do what you do best, and that is love us. Father, you are so amazing with your love. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name, that there will not be one person that will leave this place without truly experiencing that God loves them. Father, I pray that those who do not know you will come to know you today. I pray that those that are running from you will be apprehended today. I pray that those who have walked away will come back home today like the prodigal son. I pray that those who are struggling with sickness and disease, in Jesus' name, Jesus, you not only came to save us from our sins, you came to heal our bodies, our minds, and our soul. So in Jesus' name, during this service, we release the anointing to heal the sick, oh God, in every area. Father, those that are in bondage today, we thank you that the devil's got to let go in Jesus' name. God, we just want you to do one thing. Show yourself. Be so powerfully real that not one will leave the house without saying, I've been in God's house. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Let's worship together.
Oh,
Glory to God. There we go. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this morning. Joy, unspeakable joy. Hey, let me ask you a question. If the joy of the Lord is our strength, some of you need some joy. Can I hear an amen? You know, for some, this season is not always a positive season. And today we want you to know we're praying for you. Because I have some folks that have said to me, Pastor, you know, this is the hardest season of my life during the Christmas because I lost my loved one or I had situations occur. And I want you to know today that Jesus will overwhelm you with his love if you will allow him to. He'll bring healing to your heart. It doesn't need to be a bad celebration any longer. Can I hear an amen? We want to introduce to you Pastor Johnson. If I could have Pastor Johnson come on out. He is our pastor over worship and arts at His Tabernacle Family Church. We have been blessed. He has been here with us. He's from New Jersey. He's been with us now for about a year and a half. And I'd love to have you just give him a hand clap just to welcome him this morning. And the whole team that was able to put this together. You know, a lot of folks don't realize how much it takes. We have sound. We have media. We have live stream. We have worship teams. We have drama teams. We have the folks in the back of the drama teams. And plus he also does children's worship, which you'll see here in a little bit as well. Let's welcome Pastor Johnson.
Praise the Lord. Well, thank you. Thank you. No. Please stand. You know, some people thought it not robbery to stand. Thank you. I mean, you all could have stood for me, but it's okay. No, I'm just teasing. We stand for Jesus. Thank you so much for coming out on this morning. And let me just say this to everybody. Thank you for your support and all that you do to assist us and your kind words of compliments that you all are constantly giving to the Worship of Fine Arts. It's a joy to do what we do. And on today, we hope that all that we do will be a blessing to you and your family and friends that you have invited out. I'm excited about what you guys are going to see on today. On today, I'm going to ask this just before we begin, that when the children come out and even various ones are on stage that you know that are in their production or play or singing, could you please be careful of the flashes on your phones? We don't want to blind anyone. Okay? What I mean by that, with these lights glaring on the actors and actresses, we just want to make sure that they're able to see prompters and things of that nature. And then we also want our children to be able to focus on the song and not focus on parents jumping out of their seats saying, look this way to take a picture, okay? They're working very hard, and I'm just asking if you help us, we'll be straight. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, on today, let's get right into it. The Bible declares that there were many in Scripture who talked about Jesus coming to the earth. After Adam fell, there were a myriad of things that took place, and next thing you know, Jesus is in progress of coming to this earth, but there were prophets and people of God in Scripture who were declaring that he was going to come. Now, I don't know about you, but if you are like me, when you declare that something's getting ready to come, you would like to see it happen within the next few days or weeks. But at this moment, they were declaring things like Moses and Ezekiel and Zechariah and Isaiah, and they were not seeing anything. And if you're like me, if you declare something and it's not coming to pass, you kind of get a little worried, maybe a little nervous. So on today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how some people may have been worried, like how would this Christ child be able to come into this world? Some of you know the story about Jesus coming into the world, coming into a virgin, a young lady, maybe 13 years of age. On today, we're going to look into those different perspectives as we analyze their mindsets on how would this great child be born. We know Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But at the end of the day, how did they see it from their perspective? So I want you to put your seatbelts on. And I want you to get ready to receive the drama entity of His Tab presenting to you, Everyone Was Worried.
Everyone was worried. that first Christmas time, but dread turned to delight into real joy, sublime. So let's look at these characters one by one and learn from their story before we are done. There's Ezekiel. There's Micah. There's Isaiah. And there's Moses. We start with these prophets, these good men of old. They wondered if things would come out as foretold, but they needn't have worried, for God had a plan. He figured it all out before it began.
I've called this meeting to dispel some rumors that have been going around heaven that God's plan for his people are not coming to pass.
With all due respect, Moses, it's been over 1,000 years since you last made that prophecy. And I quote, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from amongst you, from your countrymen, and you shall listen to him."
And with all due respect to all of us prophets present, I don't think any of us fit the bill.
No, and furthermore, it's been 400 years since the last prophet Malachi was sent. Yeah. Well, what's going on?
Precisely. God has not been so silent in the whole history of Israel.
No, it's unusual to say the least.
It's unprecedented.
Unparalleled.
Gentlemen, if you would allow me to quote from a psalm that I wrote some time ago, "For like 1,000 years in your sight is like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night." Don't you see that God doesn't consider time in the same way that we do. His ways are mysterious, yes, but his will always prevails. May I also reference all the references in the Torah that I wrote with my own hand, that the seed of Adam and Eve that one day crushed the serpent's head, and how...
Moses, I thought all would be revealed in heaven.
Yeah.
It was hard enough not knowing what we were talking about back on Earth. But now this?
What were you talking about, Ezekiel? You wrote some strange stuff. Weirder than Daniel.
It was weirder than Daniel.
Okay.
It was.
I admit, it was a bit weird.
A bit?
All right. A little weird. But in my defense, we relayed the message that God gave us.
Okay. Yes. There was some mystery in what we said.
Some?
Okay, there was a lot of mystery in what we said. There were so many symbols in the Passover and the tabernacle, even in the time that Abraham almost killed his son Isaac. But I, for one, can't wait to find out what it all means. And gentlemen, I have reason to believe that the time has come for God to act.
What?
Really, Moses?
Again?
How do you know?
How?
Just tell us, how do you know?
Just watch.
Our story begins with a man, Zechariah, whose son would announce the coming Messiah. The angel's prediction was met with some doubt. The old man couldn't speak when he came out. Everyone was worried the old man had a stroke. They'd listened intently, but only silence he spoke. No sound was forthcoming, and to their consternation, only Elizabeth could keep up the conversation.
Zechariah, what happened? You look like you've seen a ghost. You did see a ghost? You saw a bird? You saw an angel? What did he say? You're going to have a baby? I'm going to have a baby? Oh, no, I think he's had a stroke. Here, dear, come lie down. Somebody call a doctor.
Let's hear it. for the senior citizens. Yeah, way to go, Elizabeth and Zachariah. Woo! Yeah. Do I hear a second to that motion, Abraham? Hey, can you relate to that guy?
Okay.
Hey, Abraham.
Ezekiel, you've made your point, but there's more to come.
I'm just so excited.
It's okay. Just to the point.
The next worried person was a woman named Mary, and you'd worry too at a vision so scary. For an angel appeared to Mary in her room, that an angel would soon appear in her womb.
Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will be with child, give birth to a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will have no end.
But how will this be, since I am a virgin?
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born shall be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth in her old age is now a child, for she who was said to be barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.
Well, I am the Lord's servant, so may it be to me as you have said.
There. Is everybody happy now?
No, not at all, actually. No.
Well, Micah, what is it? What's your problem?
Okay, Moses, I'm sorry. I just have a major objection, Your Honor. I specifically said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Okay, let me remind you of what I wrote. Let me see the... You, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small in the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me a ruler over Israel, whose origins are of old, of ancient times. And now look what's happened. God picks a girl from Nazareth. That's 70 miles away from Bethlehem. How's it going to work out now?
I, too, have an objection. Mary is so young.
Yeah.
The fate of the world is riding on this child.
A kid.
You were young once, right? Did God not have a plan for you? Did you not carry it out to the fullest of your ability? Be patient.
And now we get to the most worried of all. Joseph. Poor Joseph. His problems weren't small. For Mary, dear Mary, was found to be with child, and the thought of losing her made Joseph almost wild. But an angel appeared to him in his sleep and told him that Mary, his betrothed, he could keep. Joseph's joy knew no bounds, for his wife would give birth. This child would be sent from God and would rule the whole earth.
Hey, okay, now this I like. Okay, did we not predict that the promised one would come from the house of David?
Yeah, we did. As I said, and a shoot will stem from the spring of Jesse. Both Mary and Joseph were of the house and lineage of David. Yeah.
But let's not forget that it was God who made this all work out.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Amen.
Your Honor, yes.
Yeah, I know.
That's right.
That's right.
The next worried person is no other than Caesar, who in his old age was an August old geezer. To know how much tax he needed to figure, a census was called to prove his empire was bigger. Bethlehem turned out to be Joseph's hometown, and that poor, tired couple, dusty roads traveled down. More worries awaited them when they got there, for no rooms were available, not anywhere.
Daniel did predict one like the Son of Man, glowing in splendor. Let me guess. They will arrive at a palace.
A palace? A palace?
That's befitting a king?
Well, I guess a place is a palace if the king is there.
Well, I still don't understand. Zechariah predicted that the Messiah would ride a donkey. But how can this be the fulfillment if he is still in his mother?
Just keep the faith, Ezekiel. Just keep the faith.
Joseph worked hard. He did all he was able. But the only place that he could find for his little family was a stable. He fretted, he worried about what he would do. His poor wife looked like she was overdue.
Trust in God.
I hope so.
But I don't understand. In all these troubles, I don't see God's hand.
Isaiah, you don't have to speak in verse.
Okay, I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. But with all that's going on right here, I don't see how all of this fits together.
I too am wondering when this mighty king I predicted is going to arrive. Here? In a stable? With the animals?
Of all places.
Watch. The time has come.
Mary and Joseph, they were now past all worry. They hardly had time. They were in such a hurry. For the Lord of the universe split history in two. The Lord of all time made time stand still too. Gasping, the baby entered this world crying. It was only a foreshadow of how he would leave this world, dying. For into this sick world, God came to be with us, bringing salvation and hope, joy and trust.
Okay, I think I'm beginning to understand.
Yeah.
It's coming together. It fits like what I wrote about a suffering servant. It's becoming a lot clearer now.
But is that it, Moses? How will God tell the world?
Yeah, how is he going to tell the world?
There's a plan for it. Just watch.
Okay.
And now we must pause to give our attention to a group of young shepherds, and it goes without mention, who were worried that life may be passing them by when the heavens broke loose and angels did fly. But please pardon me, I am very sorry, but I am getting a little ahead of my story. For as I stand here slowly reciting, I find this next part truly exciting.
Bored, bored, bored. There is nothing to do here except freeze.
Watch the sheep sleep and wish we could be sleeping and get bored.
I don't think it's fair. Why do all the adults get to sleep while we have to stay awake all night?
Yeah, we should go on strike. Then maybe they'd appreciate us a bit more.
Yeah, they wouldn't appreciate us at all.
Remember when we were kids on nights before a big feast and we couldn't sleep because we were so excited? Now I'm just bored, bored, bored. Nothing ever happens in this little town.
Bethlehem is so peaceful.
First chance I get, I'm moving to Jerusalem. That's where all the action is.
Yeah, with all those Roman soldiers. You don't even know how lucky you are. I've been to Jerusalem, and it can get really scary. Plus, what's someone like us going to do in the big city? Herd sheep?
It beats sticking around here. As I said before, there's nothing to do in this little town. Hey, how about we look at the stars?
Yeah, same old stars, night after night.
If you'd look more closely, you'd see that the stars have moved slightly from the spot they were in the night before. Actually, I like looking at the stars as they move across the night sky. And there are the wandering stars. And do you see that bright star there that doesn't blink? It's traveled clear across the constellations, and now it's right back in the same spot it was in when I started taking notice of the sky 12 years ago. Plus, I bet the people in Jerusalem can't see those stars.
True. Yeah, with all that extra light, dust, and smoke.
Most of them are too busy to ever even look up. They're inside their houses now, totally oblivious.
Yeah, and also in their warm, cozy little beds.
This really sucks. Our puny little fire isn't putting out much heat, so why don't you go put some more wood on it?
Because there isn't any more wood.
Be quiet. You're going to wake the sheep.
Be quiet yourself. Hey, let's wake up the sheep, chase them around a little bit so we can get warm and have us some fun.
Changing the subject slightly, have you ever wondered what those stars really are? I always thought they were angels guarding the gates of heaven.
Some might think that they're faraway suns like ours. Or I like to think they're little groups of people gathered around a little fire like ours. Have you ever actually wondered if there's anyone else out there somewhere?
There are angels out there.
Yeah, right. When is the last time you saw an angel anywhere around here? Hey, what are you staring at?
Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy for all people everywhere. For on this day, in the town of David, a Savior's been born. He's the Christ, the King you have waited for. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.
I can't believe it!
That was an angel!
This is crazy. Tell me we're dreaming.
God has heard us. We better get going.
But where are we going?
To see the baby!
Yeah, the King!
And so the three came to Herod's big palace, but they could not have known he was filled with vile malice. They innocently asked where the King had been born, but he found himself seething, he found himself torn. He went to his wise men all fretting and fuming, for his worry had become all-consuming. This child will wreck all if I let him, I bet. But don't count me out. I'm not finished just yet.
A king of the Jews? Very interesting. Excuse me one moment. Bethlehem, you say? A ruler over Judah? Star appeared when? 2 years ago. You're quite right. Imagine, it takes magi from the east to tell us of something right under our noses. Thank you. You've been most helpful. If you keep traveling, it is just a few miles to Bethlehem, where you very well may find this baby that you seek. Oh, and if you find him, would you let me know? So that I may get right into worshiping the child.
And now we get to the very last part, as magi from the east, with an astrological chart, turn their eyes to the heavens to see the news that a king had been born in the land of the Jews. And just like all of our friends in this story, as they traveled, they worried and they became sorry that they had ever started this wild goose chase quest, but it wouldn't let them slow down. It would give them no rest.
I say we just go home. My feet are killing me.
I knew we should have brought the camels. But no, you said. We'll walk, you said. We need the exercise, you said.
Hush, my worrying, warring, wearing brothers. You tire my ears with your constant bickering.
Your ears are tired? My entire body is tired. And when are we even going to find this godforsaken place?
We are already in the land of the Jews, and we're almost at the end of our quest. You would turn back now after all of our travels?
That's what you say every day. We're almost to the end of our quest.
My son, it's the universal reply of the age-old question of children. Are we there yet?
Well, even when we get there, who knows what we're going to find? How do we know that this star hasn't just sent us on some kind of cosmic joke?
All right, you two, go back. Go back to your mothers. Go back to your jobs. I will travel my whole life if I have to. I've got to find this king.
The king of the Jews.
No, the king of the world. The king of the whole universe. He's the one who the prophets foretold, both in our country as well as theirs. If you would look into it, you would find everyone everywhere is looking for a sign from God that he still cares about human affairs. He has written his word in our hearts. That's how the Hebrew sages put it.
Fine, Caspar. You win. You always win.
True.
Yeah, he's right, Melchior.
But he's always right.
You know, I felt it too. That all my life, I've been searching for the one that can bring the end to the war between heaven and earth.
I guess you're right too, Balthazar. I guess I wouldn't forgive myself if I didn't come with you guys. And I don't suppose I'd forgive myself if I turned back now, either.
Come, my fumbling, stumbling, grumbling brothers. This city you see ahead of you is Bethlehem.
So you probably know how they came to this town, where they found the Christ child and went kneeling down. Each one gave his treasures and knew in his heart that they had met God. And it was only the start. I'm sorry that time does not permit me to say of how Mary and Joseph had to flee on that day. Refugees, they went to Egypt land. They trusted in God, but they didn't understand. And now we will close in the same way we did start, with prophets of old who still worry at heart. 2,000 years later, God's ways are still a mystery, but God is our King over all of Earth's history.
I've called this meeting to dispel some rumors that have been going around heaven saying that God's plans for his people are not coming to pass.
Forgive me, Moses, but it's been over 2,000 years since the first coming of the Messiah. And what has happened since?
And with due respect to all the prophets present, I don't know when their prophecies are going to be fulfilled.
And you think we're worried? These people on earth don't even know what's going on.
No, and they're all looking for Christ's return, but I fear that many of them have given up hope.
May I remind you of God's promise to Abraham that I wrote down in Genesis, that every nation would be blessed through him and his offspring, who is Jesus Christ? Don't you see that this has been going on for the last 2,000 years? Okay. The gospel is spreading, and the time will tell when God will finally write the last chapter of history. Our job remains the same, to encourage people to look up.
I wonder if they have read the book of Zechariah, or Ezekiel,
or Isaiah,
or Micah.
This is why we are here, to remind these people of the great things of old. So here we are. It's December 20th at His Tabernacle Family Church, located in Horse of Heads, New York.
Hey, I know this place. One of my best students came from here. Their pastor, Michael Spencer. He has so many questions. Oh, so many questions. But, you know, I like that in a student. The curiosity.
Yeah, I wish these people would have a mind like their pastor. You know, more inquisitive. You know, be more inquisitive. I mean, God is doing amazing things all across this planet, and they're totally oblivious to the things that he wants to do right here in their own community.
Mm. And instead, they are worried, concerned about other things, their families.
They're worried about unemployment and their jobs.
Just going through the motions, you know, worried about Christmas, for Christ's sake. Mm.
And look at how they run around preparing for Christmas, yet they don't even know why they do it.
No.
If only they would realize that God is in control. If they would only give him the rightful place in their lives. They need to stop worrying and start worshiping.
Yeah, and know that it all begins by kneeling down, first at the cradle,
and then at the cross.
Amen.
Amen.
So now, here we are at this Christmas time, and the way of the world is anything but fine. The world has turned into a bit of a mess, so listen to me carefully for this next part, I stress. Christmas now seems to be about presents and lights. No one remembers that first holy night when angels appeared and started to sing at the birth of our Lord, at the birth of our King. Now it's all about presents and sugar plum dreams. Yes, that's how Christmas is now, it seems. Children turn in early on Christmas Eve so Santa can come. It's what they believe. And that's all good for a whimsical touch. But when it's all that there is, it's a bit much. So now let's go back to where we all did start, with those prophets of old who did their part in helping the Christmas story become real. Sit up and take notice. You know the deal. We are here celebrating Jesus' birth. God has sent him to us because he knows our worth. So I'll tell you again that Christ is the reason we are here celebrating this Christmas season. So let me remind you to do your part. Keep Christ in Christmas. Keep Christ in your heart.
ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls that are in here, the question was, keep the Christ in Christmas. Or shall I say, the statement was, keep Christ in Christmas. And then also, keep Christ in your heart. From what you saw today, you probably say, I didn't see this part, I didn't see that part. But we want you to understand that our focus was, what are you worried about? Are you worried about that Xbox, the PS4, the clothing that you may receive? Or are you worried about, do you have Christ in your heart? And I think the biggest thing that we can gain from today is knowing that regardless of all the other things that come, because that stuff passes away, do you have Christ in your heart?
Are you guys ready to sing? I can't hear you. Are you ready to sing? Pastor Johnson. Come on, give another hand clap. You guys did awesome. Did you have fun? Do you love Children's Church? You love his kids? No, I don't blame you. You have got great teachers, and thank you so much for singing for us, singing for Jesus. Amen. You guys have a great class. I know, listen, right after there's that petting zoo, they brought the camel. Yeah, we're twinsies, aren't we? Dude, look at you. That's really nice. We're looking good. Bro, what's that? Dude, you got a tie too? You look good, buddy. Bam. Really? Can I have it? Bam. Dude, how are you? Are you guys glad Jesus came? He came and died for you because he loves you so much. Aren't you glad that he loves you? Man, you're getting tall. You're going to be tall like your daddy, huh? Yeah. You're tall, yes. Some of these children have grown up in this children's ministry since they were little babies. I'm talking like little babies. That's when you start feeling older. Can I hear an amen? Hi, Mel. It's what's amazing to me is, sadly enough, we started the church in 1998 with five folks at the Holiday Inn in Horseheads. And I remember marrying some of these adults. I remember when the children were born, and now we've dedicated them. Now they look at me and say, I'm almost as tall as you. It's not good. Praise the Lord. Did your parents get enough pictures? Did they get some pictures? Did you smile? Yeah? No? You didn't smile? No. Boy, Brenda, there's a lot of kids here. How many children do you have back there today? About 200 back there today? About 200 children back in the children's ministry on the other side of that wall this morning. Yeah. Make sure you're waving at your parents when you're leaving. They need another picture. Thank you. While they're on their way back to their classroom... They are on their way back to their classroom. Again, we'd like to thank all those who give. Every child will receive a gift today. We want to make sure that every child goes home with a present from the house of God, as well as the petting zoo right afterwards. Very excited about that, to be able to bless the children with that. We want to encourage you as parents to make your children's experience consistent. Turn to someone and say, consistency is everything. You know, I found that there are parents that simply are not interested in church and are not interested in God. And, you know, that's fine. That's your choice. But I want to encourage you to make sure your children have the choice. I want to encourage you to make sure your children have the choice. You can come and you can suffer through an hour and a half of the preacher. Can I hear an amen? But to make sure that your children hear and know the Word of God at a very young age. We don't do babysitting back there. Our children's ministry is training in ministry. They will know who God is and then have a choice themselves to accept or reject Christ. You know, and that's the great part about our God. I think the best and the worst thing that He ever gave us was free will. Free will says I can accept Christ or I can reject Christ. It's my choice. And you see, I want to make sure that all the children get that same choice. Can I hear an amen? You know, one thing I have found is that many adults have been brought up in church and they have that choice. Please make sure your children have that choice. Bring them to the house of God every single week. And you know what? You might get touched by heaven yourself. But if not, at least give your children the opportunity to have the choice to accept or reject the Messiah. Let's worship. We're going to worship with a few more songs. Then we're going to end and conclude today with the preaching of the word. I promise only to preach 2 hours, and then we will be out of here. Pastor Johnson.
And this morning, and bless God again with some worship. Amen. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. We got to tell of the goodness of Jesus, amen. I said we got to, if we want to pack this place out every week, we got to tell about our Savior being born, amen. Come on, you ready to worship with me this morning? You ready to bless God with me? Come on, yeah. Go tell it on the mountain, around the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain. Tell it on the mountain.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, you are the center of it all. Everything in our life, everything we need, the air that we breathe. I thank you, Jesus. Nestle in. Tell him how he's the center of your life.
Yeah. It will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, sing Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, so much for loving us. Jesus, thank you for loving us when we've been very, very unlovable. God, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Again, I want to thank you for being here. My wife and I, we appreciate the opportunity to speak into your lives. You know, we know the power of when we speak, words are seed. And when we plant the seeds, God brings growth and ultimately will bring a crop of harvest. And today, I just want to share with you very short. I'm going to be very, very short today. But I want to talk to you about this whole thing about Jesus. Many people, the moment we start talking about church, the very first thing you think about is religion. You start thinking about, well, I'm not from that religion. Well, I'm not really a religious person. This is not the type of person that I am. I don't really need to go to church. You know, church is a man-made experience. And I just want to talk to you this morning about this whole, why this whole thing is. You see, we are here today not because we have to, not because we've been manipulated, not because we've been brainwashed, but because when you truly experience the love of Jesus, you see, so many of us are searching for the same thing. We're all searching for love and acceptance. I don't care how big of a man you are. I don't care how muscular you are. I don't care. I don't care if you're a small little lady. Every one of us are searching for the exact same thing. We all want to be loved. We all want to be accepted. And everybody is striving for those things. You know, this is why we have tribes and we have groups. That's why we have cliques and that's why we have certain friends that we have. Because they have accepted us and we feel that love in that community. Today I want to talk to you about a love that cannot be swept away, cannot be put away. It cannot be something that just slowly fizzles away. I want to talk to you about a love that is everlasting to everlasting. No, I'm not talking religion. No, I'm not talking church. I want to talk to you about Jesus. You see, we're celebrating the coming of the Messiah. But why did the Messiah come? Why did he breach heaven? Why did he leave all of his heavenly glory, come down here to live as a man? Why did he, as a Messiah who knows our very feelings and our situations, go through the trials and the tribulations we went through? Why? Why is the question. When we can answer that, then we can slowly, actually, we can throw away this religious mentality and we can get to the crux of the matter. And that is, Jesus truly, honorably, honestly cares. cares and loves you. Every one of us have had people in our lives that have said they loved us that have left. Every one of us have had people in our lives that have said they loved us and then you've been divorced. Some of our children have left us. We've had people that we've loved died on us. Listen, every one of us have experienced the loss of love. But I've got news for you today. Not a religious flash, not a news flash, but I want you to hear heaven's flash. And that is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus truly loves you. The Bible's so clear. It says, in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no man than this, than one lay down his life for his friend. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says this, and now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. You see, when we get man's love or woman's love or that temporary love, it fulfills us for a period of time. But God's, he always made it so that there's a hole in our heart without him being resident. I sang a song a few weeks ago. Life without Jesus is like a donut. Would you like to sing with me? Here we go. Life without Jesus. Oh, I need help. Where's Brother David? Life without Jesus is like a donut. Like a donut, like a donut. Life without Jesus is like a donut. There's a hole in the middle of your heart. Okay, now you got to sing it with me. Listen, you all saw that I can't sing. They don't even let me in the choir. Are you ready? Let's sing it out loud. Life without Jesus is like a donut. Like a donut, like a donut. Life without Jesus is like a donut. There's a hole in the middle of your heart. We can get all religious. I can give you all, listen now, I've earned my titles, I've got all the indoctrination, and I've got all the words of religiosity that I needed. But it all comes down to one thing. And that is truly that God loves you. The greatest of these is love. The word great there means mega in the Greek. It means so big you can't even imagine how vast it is. Listen, God's love for you is not one that he's ever going to trade out. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Every one of us are striving for someone to grasp a hold of us and love us for exactly who we are. Listen, God loves you so much, he'll accept you anyway, and then he'll start cleaning you up. You see, Jesus loves you. This I know. And today, you might be worried about a lot of things. You've got a lot of problems in your life. You've got struggles in your life. But there's one thing for sure. If man could help you, you'd already be taken care of. But there is one. There is one. He came wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he rose again on the third day after he was crucified. His name is Jesus. And today, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for you. You see, he loves you so much that he said, I've got to send the Holy Ghost so I can stand next to the Father, and I'm going to pray for you continually. You see, there are people that kind of, they get this mindset in their head that, you know, all I need is another person to fulfill me. You keep looking. Money's not going to do it either. Your sport's not going to do it either. I knew a young man, he was an aspiring football player, went into college, and they were promising him all these things, and within the first few months, he blew his knee. Never again to go into the football. He always had that desire, but it never happened. Some of you have lived a life of disappointment. Some of you have lived a life of abandonment. Some of you have lived a life of rejection. You've got that smile on your face, but inside your heart, you know there's a void. Listen, I don't have a church for you to join. I don't have a religion for you to join. I want you to know Jesus, who came and sacrificed himself so that you might live, not just on this planet, but in the world to come, that you will know that you're wrapped in love no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. He'll never give up on you, for his love is constant and consistent. Can I hear an amen? 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says this, we love him because he first loved us. 1 John chapter 4, 10, for this is real love, that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. You see, it says also in Ephesians chapter 3, 17 through 19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend all that the saints, what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You see, what I love about Jesus is this. He's not asking you to be religious. He's not asking you to get a religious tag on your head. So many people have relied upon that. Well, I grew up Pentecostal. I grew up Baptist. Well, I grew up Catholic. Well, I grew up Presbyterian. Well, listen, who cares what you grew up? There's none of those in heaven. You're either in Christ or you ain't there. It's simple. So today, man, the greatest thing that you can get is this, and during this Christmas season, it's not religion, but really knowing Jesus. Some of you have sacrificed Jesus for the most foolish, asinine things on this planet that are temporary. And God is saying, come on now, wake up. I got a love and I've got passion for you. I will bless you and not curse you. And you will have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you'll have a peace that passes all understanding. You'll have a love that you can't chase away. And I will always be there, even in the midnight hour. And if God is for you, by the way, who can be against you? So today I want you to know, as His Tabernacle Family Church is here presenting to you this great program, many of you then in that worried position, you need to be free. Many of you who have no hope need hope. But every single one of us need love. And today I challenge you to receive the God of love, not the God of religion. Jesus came to build a family, not a religion. And he's called you to be part of his family today. You know, I know that some of you are sitting in that chair and you're feeling uncomfortable. And that's good because we prayed for that. I prayed that you'd feel uncomfortable. I prayed that you would come into this place and not feel like normal, just get in and get out and let's get out of here. But that you would feel literally the conviction of the Holy Spirit. What's conviction? Conviction is when God speaks to your heart and says, you need to change. You need to let me in. You need to turn from your sin. You see, until we recognize that the Messiah came to save us from our sins, until we recognize that sin is what is the only thing that holds us back from that love that is truly without a barrier. Until we realize that we are the ones that are holding back God's best for our lives, then we'll keep hanging on to our sin. Sin is fun, but for a season. And anybody who says sin isn't fun is a fool. They're a liar. Sin is fun, but there's always a price to pay. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. Today I want to talk to you. I want to be straight up with you. Anybody who knows me as a person besides behind the pulpit is that I'm pretty consistent. You're not going to get somebody else standing behind here and putting on a show. I am who I am. And I would tell you right to your face the same thing I'm going to tell you right now. Every one of us, not one of us knows what today is going to bring. Not one of us knows what tomorrow is going to bring. I live near a fire department, and the fire alarm went off last night. And the fire alarm went off last night because a man was having trouble breathing and difficulty breathing. They were thinking it was a heart attack at 4 a.m. while he was working over at the candy place. Now, you know something? That man didn't go to work that night expecting that he was going to possibly have a heart attack. I don't come to you with fear. But I come to you with reality that this Christmas season you cannot allow to pass by again. You can't go just to another Christmas and Easter service and say kumbaya. But I challenge you today to be challenged, to allow the Spirit of the living God to convict you and for you to respond to his presence and say, I truly want God. I truly want to repent. I truly want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I truly want to know this love that I cannot understand, that I've been searching for my whole life. I truly want this one who can forgive every single sin and stain that I've ever done. Come on now. God says, listen, we even shored up the roof just for you today. I challenge you to know God. I challenge you to know the babe who no longer is a babe, but the lion of the tribe of Judah. I challenge you to know the one who rose again on the third day and today is praying for you right now. He's praying for you right now. He knows your problems right now. He cares for you right now. Let's all stand to our feet. Can we pray together? Pray right out loud with me. Dear Jesus. Now I know, man, I've heard people yell at their children that they're louder than that. Are you ready? Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you came. Father, thank you that you sent your son. And that he came for a reason to forgive me of my sin. I have sinned. I am a sinner, but today I want a nature change. I ask Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord. I surrender. I declare that Jesus rose from the dead and that he's coming again. And right now, I give him my life. I surrender my life. I need your love. I need eternal acceptance. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm just excited. And for all those, my wife can come, for all those who accepted the Lord, if you could meet me right up front. And I know you're saying, my family, my family, my family. I'd still like you to meet me up front. I'd like you to be bold. When we dismiss the service, I'd like you to be bold and meet me right up the front. We want to just make sure you have a Bible and that you know what you're doing. We don't want you just to start this race. We want you to finish the race. Amen? Now, listen, what's happening Christmas Eve is we have another service, a candlelight service. It's only 1 hour. They don't even really let me preach. 1 hour. We're going to sing. We're going to have candlelight. We're going to have communion. This is a great tradition to start with you and your family. We love you. Listen, let me pray. Father, release a blessing right now on all those who've heard the word. Hound of heaven, I pray that they will not be able to rest until they make a decision to serve you or reject you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, we love you. Have an awesome, awesome Christmas. Make sure you go and say hello to the camel for me. Hallelujah. Union, this is a great tradition to start with you and your family. We love you. Listen, let me pray. Father, release a blessing right now on all those who've heard the word. Hound of heaven, I pray that they will not be able to rest until they make a decision to serve you or reject you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, we love you. Have an awesome, awesome Christmas. Make sure you go and say hello to the camel for me. Hallelujah.